Luke chapter 23. If you're using the Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1110. 1110. We'll begin with the 39th verse and read through the 45th. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 45. We'll read the verses responsively. May we please stand for the reading of God's Word. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Together also on the 45th verse, please. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Let's pray. Please, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless our service. Thank you so very, very much for this church. How much it's meant to us in years past and now for this new year. We pray that thou wouldst bless concerning all that lies before us in the way of opportunity and blessing, and help us to start the new year off properly by giving our attention to this service, to the preaching for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. 1982 wasn't very good to me. Somebody said to me this week, well, if you live to see 1983, 1982 was pretty good to you. But somebody said 1983, too, wasn't very good to me this year. I guess I've talked to more people in recent days who are having a battle with bitterness. I mean, bitterness against providence. Bitterness against circumstance. And I want to put my finger this morning on what causes it. I believe that everybody in a church every Sunday morning ought to pay attention to the sermon, just like the Israelites paid attention to the instructions for the Passover night, because it was life or death for their themselves, their children. And so this morning I want you to listen to my first message of 1983, the root of bitterness. Our Heavenly Father, meet thou with us. Give us what we need today. Holy Spirit, administer to each of us and minister to each of us according to our needs and not our wants. Amen. Here are two men. Both men have committed the same sin. Both have been dealt the same punishment. Both are dying under the same conditions. One man says, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Bitter doubt was in his mind and heart. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. The other fellow said, in so many words, you ought not to talk like that. He said, this man's not done anything wrong. He said, you and I have been dealt with justly. We're getting exactly what we deserve. He said, Lord, I know I ought to die. I know I'm paying the penalty. But he said, after this life, after I paid my penalty, he said, would you remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? Now, here are two men enduring the same circumstances, same punishment. One man is bitter, the other's not. Why? It's wrapped up in that one little statement. We are getting our justice. This is what we deserve, he said. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In one day, during the holidays, two men came to me at different times that one day, and both men were unemployed. One man said, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I love God. I go to church. I tithe. Read the Bible. Pray. I even go soul winning. But I'm unemployed. I don't understand it. And I just don't understand why God doesn't give me a job. The other man, unemployed, same type of work, said, I don't have a job. But this has given us an opportunity to find exactly how many friends we have. And it's given us an opportunity to live by faith. And God has been good to us in spite of the fact that I've been out of work for several weeks. Now notice that. Same circumstance. Same problem. Same meager existence. Same unemployment. For about the same amount of time. But one fellow says, praise God. The other fellow says, I'm having a tough time not being bitter. I had two ladies who came to me over a period of the last month. They live in the same apartment building. They fellowship with the same rats. I'm not talking about the spouses. But fellowship the same rats. And both live in an apartment building that's a little less than desirable, as we would count desirability. One lady said to me, I just don't understand it. My husband's trying to serve God. And he's given his life to full-time service. And here, we have to live under conditions like that. She said, I'll be honest, preacher, I'm just getting bitter. Now, the other lady, who lived in the same apartment complex, she said, you know, Brother Hiles, one of these days, my husband's going to be a preacher. And we're going to know then how our people suffer that have to do without some things. And I just praise God that we're getting ready for it so we can identify with our people someday. Same apartment place, same complex, same circumstances, same sacrifice, same living standard. One lady said, I'm getting bitter. The other lady said, I praise God. What is it? I had, in recent weeks, I've had two young folks come in, lovely young ladies, both of them in their teens. Both of them reared only by a mother. Both of them forsaken by their dads. I mean, the dad left home, left the mother, left the children, and doesn't pay a dime for the support. And one young lady said to me, she said, other young girls have their dads. Why can't I have one? I can't have the dresses others have, and I can't go sometimes on activities others can afford. And she said, I just don't think it's fair. And the other young lady, who has the same circumstance and has had since she was that high, she said, Brother Hyam, I know there's a purpose. And she said, through all of this, my mother and I have gotten closer. And I never would have been as close to my mother if I'd had a dad like other young ladies have. And I just admire my mother so much, and I try to help her all I can. Now, there are two young ladies, same circumstances. Both of them reared by a godly mother, and one mother equally as godly as the other. And both of them living in near poverty. Both of them having to what we call sacrifice. And yet one of them says, it's just not fair. It's not right. Why can't I have a dad? And the other one said, you know, this has helped me to get closer to my mother. I talked to two college wives with their husbands, And, of course, nobody will know unless maybe one or two of you folks know I'm talking about you, but nobody else will know unless you tell them. And, but one of them said, I may as well be not married. And as far as your husband's concerned, it would be a blessing. I may as well be not married. I don't have a husband anyway. I hardly ever see him. He's in college. He's at work. I don't understand it. I may as well not have married. I don't say, well, won't you get you another one to go with this one? That way you can have husbands-in-laws. And I said, won't you get another one? And I, of course, I was kidding. But she said, I don't understand it. And one little lady said to me, she said, Brother Hiles, she said, my husband was the most popular boy in the senior class. And she said, I was just one of the little also-ran girls. And she said, I just would like to have met him one day and never dreamed I'd ever have a date with him. And she said, the first time I ever had a date with him, she said, I thought surely he'd never want to go with me a second time. And she said, Brother Hiles, he asked me to marry him. And I never thought I'd even get to have a date with him. And now she said, Brother Hiles, I don't get to see him very much, but I never thought I'd ever get to meet him. She said, he was my hero. He was my ideal man. And I got him. And she said, I don't get to see him much, but I get to wash his clothes and keep his apartment clean. And she said, Brother Hiles, I'm so happy. If I never got to see him at all, at least I got to love him. And he's mine. Now, that same thing. Why is it? Some person, I better. God's not good to me. See, you're two senior citizens. Try someday asking some dear old saint how she feels. And then ask some dear old other saint how she feels. Listen, you ask some dear old senior citizen, how do you feel? Why, we have dear old saints of God in this room this morning who say, fine, fine, never say anything, fine. But you ask somebody else, how do you feel? And you better have the day off. Now, what is it? Two couples lose a baby. A lady said to me, she said, I'll never trust God again. I'll never read the Bible again. I'll never pray again. I'll never put my faith in God again. She said, God took my baby. I hate God. Another little lady loses a baby. And she says, God must have needed some babies in heaven. And she said, there's a purpose for it. I understand it. And God is good. One sentence. Hear me. One sentence. Here it is. The question, the sentence that divides the person that is bitter over the same circumstance that causes the other to mature in the grace of our Lord is in one question, and that is, what do I deserve? What do I deserve? That's it. One person says, I deserve everything, and I got less than everything, and I'm bitter. You see, bitterness is built around pride. I didn't deserve such. I didn't get such. And bitterness is built around pride. One person says, one person expects everything. Hear me now. Expects everything and gets less. The other person expects nothing and gets more. And yet they get the same thing. One person said, I said, young man, I was talking to two young men this week. One young man's wife left him, and it was his fault. She left him and went against the Bible and against the will of God, against the Word of God, and left him. And he said, Brother Hiles, I just believe God has a purpose in this. I just believe God has a purpose in this. And Brother Hiles, I've gone soul winning more, I've prayed more, I've read my Bible more, and I believe God's going to see me through. The other young man said, I went out and got drunk the other night. I'm bitter. I went to a movie house. I had a date with an unsaved girl. I went out and got drunk. And that young man, no doubt, is in this room this morning. And I love him, and I'll do the best I can to help him. But he said, I'm bitter. I've had a hard time from being bitter. I don't know why. Because the truth, I told him, I said, young man, what you ought to stop and realize is that every single one of us deserves to go to hell. If we got what we deserve, I'd burn in hell, and you'd burn in hell, and anything above that, blessed be God, we're very fortunate. Anything above the fires of hell is the goodness and grace of our God. You know the word bitter, I checked it in the Greek, and the word bitter means to make something bitter. Something made bitter. Any circumstance of life, you can make it sweet or bitter. Hey, don't you recall over there in the Old Testament days when the Israelites were on their journeys and they came to a place called Marah where the waters were bitter. The word Marah means bitter. They came to a place called Marah and they were drinking the water. It was bitter and very bitter. And so God told Moses, he said, Moses said, you tell them to cut down a tree and you throw that tree in that water. And that tree will make that water sweet. And Moses cut down, had them cut down this tree, and they hurled that tree in that bitter water. And as soon as they hurled that tree in that bitter water, God made the water sweet. There's a tree 2,000 years ago that was cut down. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I don't care what your burden is. I don't care what your heartache is. I don't care what your trial is. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. I don't care what kind of shoes your feet have on. I don't care what kind of house you live in. I don't care what circumstances are. You take the tree of Calvary and throw it in the bitter water. Now I'll guarantee you God will make it sweet. But you see, what you're doing is you think you deserve everything. You're not getting everything, so you're bitter against God. Blessed be God, there are people that realize that we're sinners by nature and sinners by choice. That by nature we're sinners and by choice we're sinners. And every single one of us deserves the least of God's. If God gives us anything, God gives us more than we deserve. Those folks this morning who are bitter in this room are self-centered. Filled with ego. Filled with pride. I am better than what I have. Let me tell you something. I'd like to take you on a tour. I'd like to take you, bitter people, I'd like to take you down in the Jordanian, camps now on the west bank of the Jordan where the Palestinians live. I like to show you little boys and girls almost naked with their little ribs protruding from their little, through their bodies, or their skin. I'd like to, he said, that you see their open hands as they beg just for a coin or beg for a bite to eat. I'd like to take you on a tour. I'd like to take you down to Luxor, Egypt, or down to Karnak, Egypt. We walked down those streets so filled with flies, they actually sold tourist fans to keep the flies off with. I'd like to let you see those little boys and girls down there sitting on the sidewalk too weak to walk. Little knees, double the size of the little calves and almost bigger than the little thighs. Little eyes bugging out of their heads begging somebody for a bite to eat. Let me take you on a trip. Let me take you to Cambodia. Let me take you to India. Let me take you to Lebanon. Let me take you on a trip. There's not a single person in this house this morning. I care not who you are. I care not what circumstance you have. There's not a single person in this house this morning who has one bit of right to be bitter. And not a person here, but what there are millions and millions of people, 2/3 of the folks in this world, would give their eye teeth to have your circumstance in the place of theirs. Oh, let me tell you something this morning. We ought to get on our faces and say, oh my God, I deserve hell. Oh, wretched man that I am, said the Apostle Paul. That's the difference. They give you a little formula. First, realize you deserve nothing. Second, expect nothing. Third, give everything. Yesterday afternoon, I was sitting down in the family room with Jack and Johnny. My two sons-in-laws that were here. They live here. And so we're sitting there. And we're having a little fellowship. And Melissa, Linda and Johnny's little girl, 3 years old, walked in. And she said, "Papaw, this is for you." I'm Papaw. "This is for you." She gave me a little pony about that big. I put it in my lap. And you know how you'll do. I said, "Oh, my. That's just what I wanted." She went out of the room. She came back in. She said, "Papaw, this is for you." She gave me a little book. A little book that Noah's kids had read on the ark. And I said, "Oh, my. Thank you." Do you know, in a space of 15 minutes, I owned a toy shop. And I looked over to Johnny and Jack, and I said, "That's it. That's it." She was smiling. She was happy. You know why? Because she thought she was making me happy. Boy, I just been wanting one of those. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't 15 minutes after that to Jacqueline, that's Cindy and Jack's baby. She's 2, nearly. She came in, and she reached down and took one of the same things that Melissa had given me. And Melissa said, "Mine. That's mine." Look at that. "Mine." Compared to, "You do. You do." And right there, I said to the fellows, "That's it. That's it. The happy people are the giving people. The happy people are those who are making somebody else happy. And the bitter people are those who say, 'Mine, mine, 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 nothing's mine. It all is God's. I don't deserve a thing. If I live in any house at all, it's bonus. If I have walls, it's bonus. If I have a roof, it's bonus. If I have anything to eat, it's bonus. If I have a rag on my back, it's bonus. If I have a shoe on my foot, it's bonus. I don't deserve anything. How good God's been to me, an undeserving creature like I." So if I don't get everything, I don't get bitter because I didn't expect anything and I don't deserve anything. But to you bitter people, you in your own estimation are so marvelously wonderful. The sun rises to hear you crow every morning. How wonderful you are. You deserve to ride in a Rolls Royce. You have to put up with the 1973 Chevette. "This old thing never runs. God, not good to me." Most of the people in this world never see a 1973 Chevette. 99% of the folks in this world would give anything in the world to take one ride in a car before they die. But you're so good and marvelous. I don't care who you are. You might be the loveliest face in this room this morning, or have the handsomest physique, or you might be the smartest mind in this room this morning, but what you are is a sinner who helped crucify the Son of God, who would die and go to hell and burn forever, forever. If you got what you deserve and anything above that, you ought to say, "Blessed be God for His goodness." Next little thing you ought to do, you ought to go through my little 9 out of 10 philosophy. You ought to just list all the areas of your life. Write down the word health, and write down the word country, and write down the word church, and write down the word marriage, and write down the word children, and write down the word house, and write down the word food, and write down the word job, and write down the word friends. And brother, I'll guarantee you one thing. If you can make 7 out of 10, you are a pretty fortunate person. Yeah, what you do, you'll take that one thing out of 10 you don't have and get bitter about it, when you could take the 9 things out of 10 you do have and shout about it. and there's not a person in this room this morning. Listen to me. Listen to me. Wake up. There's not a person in this room this morning, but what if you didn't go home and work at it? You couldn't make a case where God's not been good to you, and any one of us could get bitter with God today with 1 hour of reasoning. And there's not a single person in this room this morning who couldn't go home and reason another way for 1 hour. And before you came to church tonight, you'd clap your hands and shout the praises and goodness of God. Sure, I could work up a case. 33 years ago this morning, on the fourth row from the front, sat the only man in this world I could ever call daddy. And I heard his son preach the only sermon. Only Sunday he ever heard his son preach a sermon in his life. Had to sober him up the night before. Drive him down to church in the first Sunday morning of 1950 on the fourth row. He sat there and trembled. Our one-legged deacon chairman, old L.G.E. Sr., put his arm around my daddy's shoulder and said, "Mr. Howes, don't you want to be saved in tears?" For the only time I ever saw my daddy cry, rolled down his cheeks, tears of repentance. 33 years ago this afternoon, I took him for a walk in the pasture beside our country church. I put my arm on his shoulder and said, "Daddy, I want to see you saved. I want to have you as a deacon someday in my church. I want to see you saved." And my daddy startled me beyond measure as he put 33 years ago this afternoon. He put his hand on my shoulder. He's a great big man. And Daddy said, "Son, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to go back home and sell out the stuff and what little I've got in Dallas. I'm going to move down to East Texas and buy me a little stand of some kind of a fruit stand. Maybe make a few dollars to make the ends. Son, I'm going to trust Christ and I'm going to get saved. Let you baptize me. And I'll make you a deacon one of these days." And I let him off the hook. He said, "I'll come back in the spring and do it. And I won't go through the story. You've heard it too many times." But I could work up a case of bitterness this afternoon. Mighty easy. But you know why I'm not? Because I serve a good God. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. Look at me. Oh, what's wrong with people that can drink God's water and eat God's food and enjoy God's sunshine and bask in the security of God's eternal salvation? Could you tell me why anybody ought to get bitter when Jesus died on the cross for you? An old story. Now I've told it 2 or 3 times. I tell it across the country. And I'll be through. I guess the thing that I want, if I could choose any condition, physical circumstance, I'd choose for my voice to be like it used to be. I somehow believe God's going to preach a long time, but I couldn't tell you how before I preach, how much I pray for God to help this old situation down here. I was driving Atlanta, Georgia, was from Stone Mountain, Georgia, to the airport the other night. I preached on Tuesday night. Dr. Curtis Hudson and I were sharing the pulpit. I had preached last on Monday night. He preached last on Tuesday night. So when I finished the first sermon Tuesday night, I rushed to the airport, caught a plane, flew back during the night. On the way to the airport, a young preacher was driving me. And he said, "Dr. Howes, could I ask you a question, please?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "You're one of my favorite preachers." He said, "I grieve about your throat problem." He said, "How long have you had it?" And I said, "Well, I guess 25 years ago it started." He looked at me as almost sympathetically, and he said, "Brother Hiles, Dr. Hiles," he said, "does it ever get you depressed?" And I squared myself in the seat and looked him as much in the eye as I could, a man driving a car. And I said, "Son, I'm an American. I walk a free man in a world of slavery. I said, son, my name is written today in the book of life. I said, son, at this very minute, Jesus is putting final readiness on eternal home in the sky for me. I said, son, the Holy Spirit lives in this body. And I said, I have in my hand His eternal book. And I said, son, just a while ago, with a few handicaps, I got to preach as a representative of Jesus Christ. And I said, son, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And I said, if you think for a single minute, one little something about the size of a black-eyed pea down in my throat is going to depress me, you got another thing coming. Another thing coming. Bitter, bitter, bitter. With 2/3 of the world starving, me bitter. With 65% of the people in the world never have heard the name Jesus, even a curse word, me bitter. That's why Paul said that all bitterness be done away with. One sentence, and I'll end the first message of 1983. Listen. I wrote it down the bottom of my little Bible. Here's what it says. Look at the new year. Your happiness is up to you. You can rejoice about the 9 or complain about the 10. It's all up to you. Father, bless the truth.